All right, welcome to TPMC, the Poshcast. I have Deidre and a longtime friend, Katie, in studio, and our topic for this episode is thick skin. And I'm going to be honest, I was going to cancel today's episode. I've had a really good weekend, but also a really rough weekend. I don't know how it could be both, but it was just a lot of clarity and confusion this weekend in my personal life. So I was like, I don't know if I want to come up here. I might go off on a couple people. So I was like, maybe I should cancel. But no, I'm here. So, and it really goes into the topic of thick skin and all of it. I have Katie, who owns her. I've known you since the beginning. Well, for a while.
No, definitely the beginning.
And she owns Beauty Edition by Katie. So, and then I have Deidre, who's in sales, and her job is pretty high stress. For the most part, in medical. So we'll go into that. As far as thick skin, do you think that, okay, first off, do you think you have thick skin? Like,
so yes, but I also think it depends like what area of your life you're talking about.
Okay.
Because there's like different angles in life. So like I might have thick skin in business, but like say with like friendships or like being a wife or like a mom, you realize that like different areas you're further in with like how
what you can tolerate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you?
Yeah. I think that's, you articulated that really well. So I think that, we have different, we wear a lot of different hats as women and as humans. 100%. I work and I've worked in a very, for the most part, male dominated business where you have to have a thick skin, you have to have a lot of grit. That's another word I kind of always use when you're kind of talking about thick skin. But I think we all struggle, right? We have to put on our game face during business hours, we'll say. Yeah. And then when it comes to relationships and having that resiliency and thick skin in our personal lives is where a lot of us, I think, and I hate using this word, but I'm going to use it, alpha females. We kind of struggle to find that like balance.
Do you feel in your industry, like once you leave, you go back to personal life, or is it kind of meshed into what you do every day? Like my situation is I don't get a break. I feel like I've created this brand, which is amazing because it is providing for my daughter and I'm building something basically from, I can't let go of the mask sometimes, right?
Right.
I'm human, right? So it's like, I do not have thick skin. And I think the reason I don't have thick skin, I think I've been in the flight or fight mode for so long that now that I can finally breathe, I'm just like, want to be sweet and kind. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, a lot of people hate me. I didn't know that. Like, oh, wow. I didn't know. Like, the word posh triggers so many people. And it's like, it's.
But that gets better. Like, that gets better. And it goes away. It goes away because, like, when I first started my company, I wanted everyone to love it. I wanted other local stylists to like be just as happy as I was because it was such a big thing for me. You try to like fit in with everybody and then you realize, one, I don't need to fit in with everyone for my business to grow. Like I don't.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two, I don't think I like a lot of them. I know that I'm my own kind of person. I know that in social environments, like I can do really well and I can have so much fun, but you can feel when you're not wanted and then I just shut down. And when I shut down, I'm out. I'm grabbing my cute little purse and I'm out.
but I think that's key. Like, I think again, I mean, right? It's okay to not be everyone's cup of tea, right? I mean, really, without sounding so cliched,
it's
you know,
though.
Not everyone is going to love you. Not everyone is going to want to see you win, right? And I think that's the difference, right? Are you able to navigate the noise and push it aside to
an extent, I feel. But I feel like once it starts leaking into motherhood or like your personal stuff, like my daughter not being invited to certain birthday parties because, oh, if she bring, you know, it's the posh thing. And it's like, it's,
but that's a
why
blessing.
Is that a thing?
I feel
you know?
Like that's a blessing. Like when my kid comes home with all these invitations, I'm just like,
that's so,
So like if you don't invite me, I'm actually thankful.
But do you feel when you, I'm assuming you saw a huge shift when you moved into your brand new standalone big building near downtown. Do you feel that people were happy for you, or were they almost shocked that you went from there to there, or how?
I feel like, one, I really couldn't, but like the difference between me and you is I can focus on my 1200 square foot building and you focus on community to where my community comes to me.
Yeah.
You're out there like seeking all these other things.
Yeah.
And like, even though I'm around a lot of women, I'm around a lot of women who are choosing to like come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I first started, people would always say like, yeah, do it. You know, that's great. But once you really start to make moves and you really start to do things, you know, I came from nothing. You know, I was a single mom. I just wanted more. And I just went nuts. Like, I did not stop working. I had a goal. I would literally Google salon chairs, salon stations. I would go online and look at units for rent. And I was nowhere near being able to. I just knew I wanted it. So once really started to do that and I thought like, oh, this is really possible. I think you want to be around all these people. You're thinking, well, I need to market.
Yeah.
But how you market it, like, it's not all the same. So I thought you do need these relationships. It will help you grow your business. And this whole like women supporting women thing, you know, and I've told you this before, I don't think it fully exists. I think there are women who really do support you, but women being pro women as a whole, I don't think that exists.
I don't think it either. I think we can pretend. I mean, exactly. I think we've gotten really a good group of women. I'm not going to lie. It's taken a while.
Absolutely. But it takes time to find those people.
Oh my gosh.
And then when you find them, you hold them close and that's your tribe. And you know, I was telling the girls at the salon, like, when you have your tribe, you keep it. And if someone earns their spot, then, you know,
I love that.
Yeah, like, you let them in, too.
I never did that. I would let anyone sit, right? No. And then I started realizing the minute I got up, and I think, obviously, that's very cliche, too.
Yeah.
You know, find people that don't talk. Like, the minute I get out from the table, I'm the conversation at the table. And these are people that ate my food, were on my boat, were in my hut, you know, shared times with my daughter.
Yeah.
And the minute that I got up, they couldn't wait to put me down. And it's kind of just like shocking because it's like, but it's so funny because I talked to my dad. I came from a very, very extremely strict military household where you would think that I would have been born ingrained with thick skin. My sister, my brother, my father. I mean, like, I don't think I've seen any of them really cry. They are thick. I mean, they're like.
I think you're kind of born like that, though. Like, it's part of it's part of like how
thing.
You are.
My dad thought I was going to join the Air Force and be a journalist. I was like, was I going to battle? Like, where was I fitting in this? Like, what was I wearing, Dad? Right. Like, where did you think that was going to happen for me? And then I shifted into reporting or whatever. But when I, you know, I tell him these situations that I have with my job and the career that just kind of, it wasn't what I thought I was going to do with my life. It just kind of happened. And that's what I'm doing. He's like, why are you crying? He's like, you're a warrior. You're like, he gets so angry with me. He's like, I don't know what, like, fight back. You know, he's like, this is ridiculous. And I have to remember that. Like, I am pro women. Yes, we're dealing with mother and kids, which is very like, you know, like cutesy. But at the same time, women are vicious.
Well, I think what you're learning is you're trying to create room for everybody.
Yeah.
But there's not room for everybody.
No, I'm done. Right. I've realized that.
You know what I mean?
No.
And it's like you're trying to offer like a nice, safe place of like welcoming women.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, you're not always being welcomed.
Oh, no, I am.
You know what I mean?
It's a 50-50. Either you really like me or the minute you see me, you're just like it's the word posh that really aggravates people. And how do you do thick skin both? Right. How can you have thick skin at home and still be a good mom? Right. Because you still have to have a sensitive, nurturing nature. Or do you just, how do you have things just bounce off of you? Like, do you think it was developed by early situations or?
Do you want to answer that? I mean, I think this is almost like going back to our last conversation, Emily, but I think, right. Th- things in our experiences, traumas, things in our past, things from our childhood, right? All of those things help to shape us and we become, right? And again, here we go, another cliche, but you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? So for me, I was a very sensitive child, like very, very sensitive, always, you know, and still even to this day, even though, yes, I'm tough and I have a thick skin, like 100%. I wasn't always like that. I think going through a divorce at a very young, relatively young age with a very young child helped to shape me into the woman I am today. Navigating single parenthood, right?
There's a lot
also, I mean, there's a lot. You know, disappointments, career disappointments, challenges, you know, navigating the dynamics within the family, right? With your children, with your siblings, with your parents, with friends. And again, I mean, I go back to this. I mean, my life, and this is probably a conversation for another day. I mean, I've really come to the point where I've kind of embraced, like, we all make decisions. We all have to take ownership of our decisions. Mm-hmm. And I regret nothing. I would not be the strong, thick-skinned, gritty woman that I am today without those experiences. and I don't regret anything. And I think the difference is, again, is not living in that past, but looking forward. And again, when I look at you and I see all that you've accomplished in the last couple of years, you've built this brand, this business, you've created this community of remarkable, dynamic, strong women. And now you are, you know, yes, like there's been a process of sometimes kind of almost weeding out the bad apples.
Oh,
right?
I've heard. So it wasn't that and the thing is, when you see that, yes, it's a blessing when you can have the same friendships for, again, I am very blessed with some of the longest, incredible friendships. Yeah. I've known you for a fairly long time, and mm-hmm. you've known a lot of the process that I've gone through. I don't want those people in my life that I know that the minute, again, my back was turned, they were basically hoping that I was going to fall. Like, it's terrifying to have a friendship like that. I'm like, who would want to see you fall? And like, be almost excited. I mean, that's terrifying.
The whole other idea of like thick skin is like, it shouldn't have to always be activated, right? Like in business, you have to, like, you have choice. Like, this has to go a certain way. But like in friendships and with family and who those relationships, that? Like, it doesn't matter like how strong you are. You're looking for like a soft spot of like safety.
Of course.
Of like where you can be yourself and like not have to like wonder if you're, and honestly, that takes time because I don't need to say my age, but I'm old enough to be able to say that, like,
you're in a safe space.
Katie. It took
you're
time.
And what do you do? What do you do if you get like a bad review, which she has an amazing salon, but I know
that's
that you
really good
how do
question.
You, and you have so much passion and or criticism of any kind, not even a review, just criticism from either a client or an employee. Like, how does it not eat you alive where you don't like lose sleep? Cause I would like.
In the beginning I did, right? Like in the beginning, every client that left, I called them like, hey, how'd you like your service?
Yeah.
And one lady was like, I hated it. I'm never coming back. Right? I was like, oh shit. I was like, what? And I didn't even try to make it right. I was like, okay.
You were not sorry, right?
I just hung up. But my staff was not what it was supposed to be.
Right.
But I didn't know. This was new to me. So, you know, I only have it's a revolving door. And you really don't want it to be, but people leave.
Is it just a business thing? Is that what it is?
I didn't know. I should have paid attention to the quality and like what I'm doing and what they're doing and saying, do you feel comfortable? And I did sometimes, but like it was just more of like, to do hair, you can't just be good. You have to be able to connect with people.
Yeah.
You have to be able, when they sit in your chair and they tell you what they want, you can't do what you want. You have to do what they said. Mm-hmm. And some stylists, I'm sorry, but like they still just do what they want. And that made me look really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that was wrong in my first decision making of the shop, they weeded themselves out. Okay. It was like a clean house in a matter of 1 week.
Wow.
And I never once felt a financial burden from it. I never
probably
once
saved you
yeah.
from that. Because I mean,
yeah. So the first year open when summer came, we went from 4 stylists down to 2, and we made more money than we ever did with the 2 because people were coming back and they were happy. And then when we brought someone else in, we worked on what, like, I'm much more involved. Like, I'll go in the back and say, hey, what's your approach on this? What are you going to do? Okay. Yeah. I think you should do it like this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, all right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot and they do too, but some you're always learning. And when I see something that I know I need to speak on, I do it. Cause it's just bad reviews happen. It's fine. The ones that are out of pocket, don't try, because I'll come and I will respond very professionally, but it's not going down like that.
Now
if they're right, because there was one where they were right, it was not a good experience.
Okay.
And I read what they said and I'm like, we don't do that there. Who said that? And I had to have a meeting. I had to correct it. The lady never came back, but we were like, we will do whatever to make this right.
Yeah.
And she was just done, and that's fair. But like I assess the situation within the shop.
But I think that's important too, right? Is like these failures or upsets or whatever, how, you know, whatever term you want to use. Like it's an opportunity to get better, right? It's an opportunity to say, all right, like this is what happened. Yes, you take ownership of it. And then say, okay, how do we make this experience better
to not
for our client
again.
Going forward, right? And you know, we see it. My husband and I are also a small business owner, right? We opened our doors. We were changing our hours a little bit here and there. Somebody came. They looked at our hours online. They had driven over, and then they left us a bad review because
we weren't
open.
But those are the people
open,
that
right?
always take the time
and,
to leave the bad review.
Right.
Like,
and
I'm
so,
sorry that, like, think, the clock know, on the door was wrong.
My and this is, like, my thing, honestly, and I think this is what
– Right? Like – That's very
I hard. Look at that to me when there's an upset, and this can transition over to my career and healthcare too, which is, you know, I look at it as an opportunity. Like when somebody's really pissed off and they're really upset, like whether, you know, we drop the ball, something major happened, right? And in the space I work in, I mean, there's a patient on the other end of everything
right.
I do, right?
Right.
So
no,
there's
someone's
life,
medical,
right?
Medical
and so, you know, we definitely, you know, we want to avoid screw ups. And,
right.
and so,
what do you sell?
So I work for a very large medical device and product manufacturer. We manufacture and we distribute. And so, you know, I lived through COVID, and I think, again, I say this all the time, those of us still standing in the industry have really thick skin. Because I was one of the ones, you know, behind the scenes during COVID that were, you know, keeping everything running. And so I had a couple years where it was really tough, and I would slam my computer shut at the end of the day and having to deliver really bad news and all day long for 8 hours a day. And I got really good at delivering that. Not so good news typically, you know, working on the supply chain end of things during a global pandemic. That'll give you thick skin
rough.
For sure. But kind of just going back to like there's always an opportunity, right? So for every misstep, so for every fail, there's an opportunity to really come out, even like not only making your customer, your client look good, but even you looking like a hero.
Well, it's
so
integrity,
it's about,
right?
Right. Like, but it's all about, right? It's listening. It's being empathetic and understanding and listening more than immediately like wanting to come back and respond. And then taking that and say, okay, like what did we learn
from
this?
How do you have thick skin and still be perceived as kind? Is there like a way?
Well, because you just handle it without being rude. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be mad.
You did a price increase at the salon, right? Did you know that there could be a pushback when that was sent out?
Yeah, I've had people.
And you prepared for it.
Yeah, like so. What happens is like a tube of color used to be $8. Now it's $12.
Yeah, everything's gone up.
Right?
Exactly.
Everything. It's the same thing in my business.
Everything. Like a box of foils used to be $10. They raised it to $30.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh.
I mean,
that's a huge difference.
Right.
And that's all I do.
Yeah.
Like, right. Just,
I'm sure the gloves that you're wearing, you used to pay
everything.
A couple dollars for the gloves, right? Because I know we
yeah,
that's my business and
you
we
know,
deal with commodities.
Salons have
wow.
a really yeah. high overhead.
Yeah.
Especially if you're taking care of your employees because it's commission and that's a high payroll that it's all high. So, you know, I do well because I'm behind the chair. If I wasn't behind the chair, I'd be running away. It's a lot. So one of the things I learned, and I'll say this to you, Emily, I just pointed really weird. I was like, so, you know, sometimes you only learn, like, you only like have a big, like, you can get checked once on one specific thing and you never learn the hard lesson again on that specific thing. Cause it only takes one real situation where you're like, okay, all right. And then you're gonna, you know, get checked in other ways, yeah. But it's all, it's a one-time thing. Every time something hurts or you go home and you take it home with you, it's a one-time thing on that kind of situation. So
then
like,
it hurts a little less the next time, I guess.
It probably won't happen again because you sorted it out. Mm-hmm. So like for me, the way that woman was treated, you know, who left the bad review, she was right, mm-hmm. right? It's never going to happen again because everyone knows that that was not okay. Mm-hmm. So now something else might happen and we'll handle that when it comes. But like you don't repeat the mistakes.
Of course.
And then that's how you grow. Like that's how it stretches you. So you're going to learn that with the relationships of all these women.
You know, I'm still a single mom at the end of the day. Like, I'm exhausted.
To take that on, like, physically, emotionally, to be able to get
I don't want it. Yeah. But that's the reason that they can all, you know, get along. Yeah. And I'm there to create the platform to have these women who are all like-minded build something and friendships, bonds, family vacations. I don't need to be at everything. I didn't create it, so I'm like, it's me. Like, I don't want that all the time. I want to be behind the scenes.
How many people were in the group when in the beginning? Started?
Four. And I was one of the four, so really three.
And how many are in it now?
Out of those three?
No. Total. Oh, in the group.
Total or Naples? Or total?
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, just that alone, right?
Well, a total, we're almost at 300.
Yeah.
Okay.
So across the country. In Naples, I think we're at 132 now or something, or 134-ish.
Because it's like I told you, right? Like, someone could say something about someone all day, and they'll be like,
but we talk, this is good, but doesn't,
right, but, like, that doesn't add up, because when I spoke to her, she didn't give me that vibe at all. Right. So it's always like when, I mean, obviously, if you can't talk to everyone, you can't talk to everyone. Like, that's a big group, but, like, when you do go to the events, maybe go out of your way to meet some of the other girls versus where you're comfortable.
And
just uphold your brand because there's always people in those groups who don't want to see you win. It's So when you're...
Is that like a human thing? It's just part of being human? Is it human nature?
You don't want to get me started.
It's just... I don't understand it. I've already been through hell and back. Like, why?
People don't support each other.
And I think also in business, I'm going to chime in. It's very telling. And you immediately, and again, because my husband and I are a brick and mortar small business owner, very different industry. We're in the cigar industry. It is almost, I'm going to use the word shocking, but not shocking because at my age, and again, I'll say my age, I say it all the time, I'm almost 46 years old. I've seen and heard a lot. Oh, thank you.
You look really good.
Yes. It's not the lighting. You look good.
Oh, my gosh. You just made my day. No filler still, by the way.
Really?
I love to tout that.
I'm out.
Oh, my God. I'm way out.
Well, I just started. Does that count?
No, I'm going to fully support it. No, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there soon. But I digress. It is very telling. Cut that out. When you go into business for yourself, who shows up to support you and who doesn't?
I feel like it's been strangers more than anything. The ones that How did that happen?
Like, it's really insane though. And again, I was just going to say, like, I've met people through social media, like total strangers, like
literally
internet friends, we call them, right?
Yeah.
That have supported my business, right? That have supported my business and my endeavors more than my own family and like childhood friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow when it's again.
Do you feel like you get any comeback when someone asks, what do you do? Like, do you ever feel like there's always some kind of judgment or anything? Like when you say I own a salon, and people are like, "Oh, okay, that's cute."
So, like, my husband always tells me that.
That's cute.
He tells me all the time. He's like, "You're way too humble. You need to like." And I'm always like, "Oh, I just own a salon." Mm-hmm. They have no idea that.
Take
like,
the just out of that.
Well, you know what? Like, I take a lot of pride in not like First of all, I don't think it's possible for me to ever be satisfied with what I have done because I just want more. Mm-hmm. So like what I have done every now and then, like, you know, in one of the things it's like, shit, I forgot what I was going to say. So, you know, when you first start doing something, you're looking for people to validate you. You're like, hey, here's right. my vision. This is what I want. And they're like, okay, cool. And then when you start doing it, you're like, do you see me? Like, do you see what I'm doing? And right. they're like, yeah, cool. Like, cool. And what happens is you hit, for me, I hit this wall where I'm like, I have a vision. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be happy with what I'm doing. I'm happy for me. This is fun. This is what I want. And I'm good. And what I've noticed recently, within the last couple of weeks, I've had like 3 different clients literally pull me aside who are not my clients, that they've had an interaction with me that I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Katie, they're like, I love this salon.
That's so awesome.
They're like, I love the atmosphere. Just that's put like your name vibe, on
like,
that
I one. I think that's like a huge compliment though, because you've created a feeling, a vibe, right?
Yes.
Where your clients just have that connection. They feel at home. They feel comfortable. And that's the same thing again. Mm-hmm. It's anyone with a business. You want your clients to come in. And that's the whole goal, right? You don't want them to leave. You want them to come back over and over again. Right.
Do you think that living in Naples has made you have thicker skin versus like if we lived in, I don't know. Or no,
no. Okay. I think I'm just the way I am. I think if I live somewhere else, I might fit in a little better.
I don't fit in here at all. I know, I get that.
The only thing I got that lets me fit in here is my shoes and my purses. But like, I don't always fit in at the table because whatever. But the whole purpose why I said that is because the validation comes. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. Like, as you grow and you do the right thing, like I said all of that to say that the validation will find you. Because I don't know these people. They go to other girls at the shop and they've watched me.
Wow.
And they're just like, I love what you do here. I love. And then one of my clients, she is the old CEO of Burberry.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So
and,
neat.
And she's been my client for like 10 years. And I never knew what she did, anything. She's amazing.
She never talked about
This woman has gassed me up. So by the time she came into the salon, the new one, I knew what her background was at this point because she'd opened up to me.
Yeah.
And she was like, Katie, look at this. Like, look what you've done. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, look who's saying this to me.
Yeah.
So I think that when you look at who you're actually looking for the validation from, it's not going to come from them. It comes from people who are watching you and they're just so impressed.
Yeah.
And,
I think for me it was my parents, right? Like that was my biggest fear. I was like, is my dad going to respect this? Right. Cause like his validation is like the world.
Of course,
right.
And he does. So.
Well, that's all that matters. Yeah. That's really important. Like if that's
what's
important.
And your little girl, that beautiful
She's
little
so
girl.
Annoyed. She's but like another posh event.
But Emily, it's funny. I say this to you all the time. She's watching everything
She's learned so much.
She's, you know, you're raising an incredible, just smart, kind,
sensitive.
She's
around a lot of people. Like you're keeping her busy.
She's busy. I mean.
Yeah, my life has not been boring for her in any capacity. I wish it was maybe a little bit more boring. but it's been
someday
a ride.
It
slows down.
There'll
so.
Be a conversation and she's going to look back and say, wow, like. My mom was a badass.
Aw. Like, that would be great. Right now she thinks I'm, you know.
Am I allowed to say that? Do we have to beep that out?
So where do you think that your thick skin came from? Like, where do you think you developed it?
Do you want to go first?
Oh, well, I know I touched on this earlier. I mean, I would say we'll just go into it. And I've been very candid about this.
What is
before.
It, Deidre?
You know.
Tell us.
A lot, right? There's like all kinds of childhood trauma, right? You just sort of you're shaped by sort of your environment as you grow up, right? And then the choices we make as we go into adulthood. But I would say for me, one of the biggest life events was going through a divorce at 28 years old with a 2-year-old and facing, you know, the unknown and, you know, kind of like stepping out of that and saying, oh my gosh, I'm 28. I have this small child. I never thought I would ever be in this situation. And going, all right, like what happens next? Like it's the fear of the unknown, right? And that was a huge event in my life that has
the start of all of it.
I say this, I'm grateful. It's so strange to look back and say, I'm thankful for that experience. I wouldn't be sitting here with you guys right now.
No,
I would not be where I am in my career right now without that experience. You know, I walked out of that situation and it was a very scary time in my life. And, you know, I look back and it's almost like shocking because I don't even recognize that woman.
It's funny if you could like look back and see what you were like getting ready to go through.
Yeah. And I mean, it prepared me for so much.
It'd be terrifying to be told like this is going to all happen to you. You'd be like freaked out.
And I think that experience for me, and I say this all the time, like everything I've done in the last 16 years, I'm just grateful. I would not be, I wouldn't be here in Naples sitting at this table with you guys right now. I wouldn't have taken the risks. I would not have, now I can say that I'm almost fearless now.
You're not taking any shit.
No, I'm not. And I mean, you know that Emily about me.
Katie's like that too. I tell her things and she's like that's her face. She's like, why do you give a crap? Like, right. She's like, that's so silly. You know? And I'm like, how do you have that? Like, I want to be like Katie when I grow up type feel. Like, she is resilient with things. She's like, that's, like, why let that go. You know, like, she's, you know, we've had conversations.
Thank you. Well, I think for me, like, so you're a more emotional person, right? But Emily,
is there something I can take to let that stop? Because I would love to be less.
I think that's very healthy. I'm not a crier at all. So what I do is I'm just in my head and I'm in my head and I'm spinning and I just leave it up to myself to figure it out. Okay. And then I do. But like, is there an easier way? Probably. But
I just cry it out and then I plan the next step and then it's done. Right. But you just, maybe that's better though.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, being inside your own head is not always a good neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, there's no one there to help me. I'm just like,
are you someone that, like, you have somebody, whether it's like a best friend or a partner, like a sounding board? Like, do you have that one person that you can go to like get it all out and then like put your big girl pants on and move on, right?
Yeah, this is something my husband actually gets really mad at me about because I do. I just don't.
What do you mean? You do?
Like, so
you
like I do have.
You don't use that resource.
But you have it.
I have it. But usually it's more in my head of like, I want to figure it out.
Versus expressing it.
Or maybe it's not important to them. Like maybe it's something stupid. But to me, I'm stuck on it. So I just kind of go through it in my head. And then if I can't get past it, then I'll bring it up. But I do kind of tend to lean on myself a little too much. But. Yeah. It's fine. It's worked.
But clearly it served you well.
See, but I mean, where did yours come from? Your thick skin. I mean, you've always had since I've met you early on.
So I don't know. Like as a kid, I just always felt that I had myself. I never had my mom like, hey, what's wrong? Okay. My dad was always working. Like I had myself and I had friends and I was not a sad kid, but like I was alone in that aspect. So my biggest like life-changing thing. So I got married when I was 18. I had two children.
Oh, you got me beat.
Yeah, I had two children by 21.
Wow.
But when I was 20, me and my husband at the time, he's from Argentina, and we were driving on the road, got pulled over, and they took him, and they literally said, hey, you know, not everything's lined up here. And for the record, we tried to do everything legally. Okay. They told us no. So what happened is they deported him. They took him out of my car. I had a 2-year old at home. I was two and a half. I was 4 months pregnant and
you're pregnant at the time.
And they took him. So for me, it was in a moment of like, it doesn't matter who sends me a check. It doesn't matter who does like, you can't undo that. Like that's what it was. So, that's when like the biggest journey started for me because, I had a lot to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how old were you at that moment?
20.
Wow. So young.
Maybe 21. I think I was 20.
Did you have family here mm-hmm. the time, at least? Your
but
mom?
No one could help me.
Okay.
I mean, he was gone.
Yeah, there's nothing.
So there. We lost our home. I went. So, like, my mom was great. I moved in with her. She took me and my son. But I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be with my husband.
Of course.
Like,
of course. And you're pregnant. You know,
I mean, it was a lot. So that was a very trying time. But I mean, I just did it. So I moved to Argentina.
Wow.
I worked at a hair salon there. I learned Spanish. Don't ask me to say anything because I freeze on the spot. And I just started a life there. And I mean, I could have done it. It was awesome. It was cool. I mean, but we didn't work out. So I had to come back. Oh my God. So then it was
why
like,
are relationships so difficult? It's so annoying.
But what are 20-year-olds doing being that serious?
Yeah, right.
Like we got two kids live in another country. We're broke as shit. And I got nothing. Like, what were we doing?
But I mean, it wasn't for lack of effort. You were, I mean, you were probably head over heels in love with this guy.
Can't say I didn't try.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like I said, I mean, that's an A plus for effort.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you didn't, you know, I mean, I was like, I'm like waiting on bated breath here. I was waiting to see how this story was going to end.
So we did not work. I came. I came back to the United States and I started my life as a single mom and I just went hard. I mean, I've always had a work ethic, always it's in me. So, I just did it. I don't know. Like when I look back, I'm like, wow. But like in the moment you just do it.
I love
just,
working.
Yeah. Same.
I've always like, I remember being like, when can I work? And they're like, you're not even 15 yet. And so
I used to look in the newspaper and the ladies, I called and they're like, sorry, you're
I love working.
Yeah.
But same. Not like, fun. Like, I don't know what it is.
I swear it's how you're born. I swear.
It's in you.
I can't just sit around and eat bonbons all day and wait for him to make the money. Like that would drive me nuts.
I mean,
listen.
Well, it's all good, but I gotta go to work too.
I mean, I just like doing something, right? And seeing it like develop into something, and then seeing like the comeback. And stuff.
But like, life is really short. So like, what are you going to do with it? Like you're being productive.
I mean, I wouldn't mind also him, you know, working and then I could have bonbons from time to time and then check in on the business. That also kind of helps too, where it's not like.
You just need a little more time. That's awesome. That's exactly where you'll be.
For me, it's about independence and it's mm-hmm. about choices. Yeah. Right. And so
I also think knowing things don't always work out and knowing that you have that cushion. Right. Of like, well,
and
I'm
so
okay too.
Again, part of what I didn't share about that, you know, my first marriage was, I was left in a very vulnerable situation. You know, I was very dependent on him.
And that's really hard. Yeah.
I made a promise to myself and my child, like I will never allow myself to be vulnerable and dependent on anybody, no matter how much I think I'm in love with this person. Right.
They're human, right?
Right.
Like, there's so many, he could get sick and not have done the life insurance policy correctly. And you never worked and like everything comes crumbling and there's all this debt you didn't know. It's as a woman, we have the resources and we fought for the resources to know better and not be in the dark. Right.
You know what I read today? So, 1974 is when you can get a credit card,
Yep.
Or open a bank account.
Correct.
Yeah. Without the husband.
A cosigner. You needed a male cosigner.
Isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
Yes.
Here we are in a podcast with no one's, you know. telling us we can.
No, but scary. Oh, we wouldn't be able to do this. That's a joke. I mean, you shut up and look pretty. You can't talk. I mean, come on. But yeah, I think it's just, again, thick skin. I think in order to be successful, run a business or maybe even run a home, you have to have it. But do you have tips for women, including myself? Because sometimes I forget, you know, how can you regain that? You know, or maybe remember things like that. Look, in 1974, you didn't really have a voice. Like, man up, like not man up, but like woman up. Like, what does that mean to you? You know, any tips or?
I would say just
find trauma and go through it.
Listen, we all have trauma.
No shortage of trauma.
It just comes out when it gets triggered. Sometimes you don't know until something hits you. You're like, ooh,
right.
That
hurt.
Like the word posh.
Yeah. Right.
No, I would say my biggest piece of advice, or I don't know, takeaway, you know, leaving if you're listening to this is, you know, don't let your past dictate your future. Don't let your failures and the naysayers, you know, guide your future. Mm-hmm. Take that, like, take that criticism, take that, you know, take the trash talk, if you want to say, and let that fuel you.
What's next?
Yeah. To take that next step and to honestly just help make you into a stronger woman than you were before. I think, and that's the difference of, you know, people that are, you know, that exhibit that grit and that resiliency, right? It's learning from those mistakes, learning from those falls, and quieting that noise and just pushing forward and just stop looking back. And you just, at the end of the day, so we say this all the time, right? They're not paying your bills, period.
Right.
So, you know, I would say that's what I would kind of leave this conversation with anyone listening.
No, I agree.
I would say to focus on what the vision is. You know, one of the biggest things is, like, you know, if you're trying to be successful in your own right, is to be a good human, have integrity, mm-hmm. treat people right. And if you're not supported, you just have to love yourself enough to believe in what you're doing. And it'll all come around, you know, like she said, be open to the criticism. You know, mm-hmm. None of us are perfect. We do things wrong. And when you do mess up, take it as a lesson, change those things. And, you know, especially for you, honestly, because you're around so many women, I could not do it. Is being true to yourself while being around all these women. And if it's well received, that's great. And if it's not, people do receive you. Mm-hmm. So you can't get in your head and say you're not received. No, specific people may not mm-hmm. have received you, but look at what you're doing. So whenever you feel like, no, what'd you say? 300? Sorry, with four?
Four people, three, really. It was the fourth.
All right.
It's so funny. I always tell my dad, because I was like, I know you want to be in the military, but I'm building another kind of crew. You know,
yeah,
it's
but like women, funny. It's like just, women just, really it's need women. Each other, though.
You
like
are we building a yeah. small army. I say that.
Thank you guys for coming. I really, really do appreciate your time. Thank you, Katie, from Beauty
Thanks
Edition by
me.
Katie. I always talk about it, but you're actually here.
I'm here.
We always thank
you're
you.
Real.
We're like, thank you, Beauty Edition by Katie, yeah. and she's here. She's real. And thank you, Face Foundry, Terry Suter. You just are remarkable. All right, thank you, ladies.
That's a wrap.